Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Well, very welcome back. I really enjoyed that conversation with Lindsay, and clearly a lot of you did too. One of the listeners says, absolutely amazing listening to this highly acclaimed journalist. And anyone who's listened to me knows that I have a really, really soft spot for sub-editors, particularly in tabloids, who write brilliant, brilliant headlines. The Irish Sun today had what it labels an exclusive on page 3, and it's all about the baked beans giant Heinz. The article claims that Heinz has cut back on its canned contents while at the same time upping the prices. The sub-editors wrote, the customers have caught wind of this, the fact that for the first time the standard 415-gram can has gone from being 51% bean to just 50. And there's sort of a dispute. Some said it means it's 10 beans fewer per can. The Heinz, which sells a phenomenal amount of tins of beans a day, 2.5 million tins of beans every day. They're saying it's not estimated 10 beans. It's only 3 fewer beans in a can. But well done to the sub-eds in the Irish Sun who came up with the excellent headline, "We've been had." Wasted. I should have spent my life writing mad headlines. But in any event, let's loop over to something else that you will either regard as magical or a menace, because there is a relatively new noise to add to our summer soundscape, and it's the whirring of drones at the beach or on your walk or at beauty spots around the country. And to tell us more about drones, we're joined by Julie Garland, founder and CEO of Avtrain Drone Training. Julie is also an airline training captain, a barrister at law and an aircraft engineer. You're very, very welcome, Julie.
Dervil, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Listen, you know, I'm just thinking of that drone that's buzzing around when you're trying to get changed after your swim, maybe out on the beach or whatever. And I'm just wondering, whatever about it being right, is it legal? Like, I mean, do drone operators need our permission?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things around that. So when we're training pilots, like, the one thing we say is, if you wouldn't take a photograph with your mobile phone, you know, you're not going to peep through your neighbor's hedge and take a photograph. You certainly shouldn't be taking it with a drone. But as a hobby pilot, there's no restrictions. There's no restrictions on taking a photograph in public. It's how you go by processing that data after you've gathered it and captured it. So
it's
what
who you publish
use
it to.
That for. And that's exactly who you publish it, how you publish it, how you process that data that you've gathered. So that's where you can start falling into the GDPR and being breached from a data protection commissioner point of view. And there's methods there. The issue that people generally have is that actually identifying the source, identifying the person who's actually controlling the drone, because as you know, the drone may be in one location and the person controlling it can be in a different location.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. So it's actually at that publishing stage where there's an opportunity really to circle back around, because often people do publish these, don't realise that they may have actually been in breach of the GDPR regulations and maybe subject to the requirements of GDPR and be in breach from a data protection commissioner point of view. So once it's published, then there's a follow-up process that an individual can go through with the data protection commissioner to follow through the full rigors of the law then at that point.
Yeah, so I've seen them at beaches when people are sea swimming, and also, you know, there, if you live near a beauty spot and if you're being driven mad by the whirring of the drones and a bit worried maybe, Julia, that they might be filming you in your house or garden, can you shoot them down? If you can, I suppose if you can't do it in an airport, can you do it from your back garden?
No.
Legally?
Definitely not.
Legally.
No, definitely not. No. I mean, it is seen as like a drone is deemed to be an aircraft, and it is deemed to be interference with an aircraft in flight. I would suggest if you do feel that there's any kind of surveillance going on or any intrusion of your privacy, nuisance, noise, make a complaint to the Garda and let them deal with it. Put it into the hands of the law and allow them to deal with it. You know, nobody has any business flying up your back garden recording you while you're out enjoying your own private property.
Do not take down the drones. But look, they're everywhere now, because the number of hobbyists, you know, people flying drones as a hobby has just proliferated in recent years. And I mean, what kind of things are available for them? Like, is there an entry level drone? Are they aware of what they are allowed to do or not to do, personal versus professional, you know, especially if they are an unmanned aircraft, as you described?
Yeah, so there's a few different places. I mean, one, they can go onto our website and have a look, and all the regulations are set out there. They're obliged to register as an operator once the drone is either above 250 grams or more, or even if the drone is below 250 grams and has a camera on it. they are legally obliged to register as an operator. Once they register as an operator on the Irish Aviation Authority, it's called MySRS, they pay 30 euros. They're then in the system. And then they go through what's called an A1, A3, which is a very basic level of training. And that gives you an outline of what you can and can't do with your drone. And they get a license. And then after that, it's all about the risk that you're operating your aircraft is to uninvolved people as to what level of qualification or certification that you're required to have, and insurance as well. So if you're operating as a hobby pilot, often with the very small little drones that you see, like there's the thing called a Mavic Mini out there, which is 249 grams, very popular entry level drone. It's very low risk to people. You know, if there was any kind of a failure of that aircraft, it's a very low risk drone. And that's why it's allowed, people who are operating that are allowed to fly close to people, yeah, because it's so small. So it's low risk. And then once you go beyond that, then, you know, you need further training and certification as an operator.
So what if you're like, a property surveyor, or the big things now, every time you go to a wedding, they have you sort of all set. It's no longer just, you know, everybody standing on steps. It's, you know, yeah, there's drones flying overhead. So the range of drones for that must be quite sophisticated for the professional
users. What I would say
is
what's happened, you know, we've been involved in this since kind of 2014. And what's really happened over the last 10 years is you've seen the size of these drones, but particularly the sensors and the cameras that are on them shrinking dramatically. The lenses have really increased. So what these hobby pilots, ranging into photography and so on, what they're doing is they're still operating fairly small drones. When you get into the survey drones and you get into the industrial applications, like we live by the 3Ds, if it's dull, if it's dirty, or if it's dangerous, then a drone should be doing it. So, you know, when you get into the kind of more industrial applications, commercial applications of drones, for sure, they're operating larger drones with bigger sensors. You know, they may be thermal cameras, they may be multispectral cameras. So, you know, they're larger drones, but they're going through a different standard and a different level of qualification. And they're often operating in what we call the specific category rather than the open category, which is for hobby pilots.
So to use a car analogy, I presume there's no NCT or theory test or anything you have to go through, or actually is it advisable to get training?
Well, no, there is actually. I mean, for starters, you must register as an operator. Like everybody who flies a drone that either has a camera on it or weighs above 250 grams, which is a very tiny drone, must be registered as an operator. So therefore, you must have that basic knowledge of what you're allowed to do and not to do through your A1, A3 certificate. And after that, as I say, like the open category, you can move on. Then you can do your A2 certificate, which allows you to fly in more built up areas, allows you to fly drones up to 4 kilograms if they have what's called a C2 stamp on them. So they're designed and manufactured in such a way as to minimize injury to people in the event that there was a failure of the aircraft. And then as you go on, then that's the open category. And then you go into the specific category, which is very much definitely professional operators, people who are using drones as part of their day-to-day work, or even as a full-time role as a drone pilot.
What about those no drone signs? Are there like those things on a letterbox and no junk mailbox here? Do they have actually any legal standing, or is that more just an expression of we don't want any here?
Yeah, it depends on where they are, and it depends on what the foundation of them is, basically. So what we have is on the Irish Aviation Authority's website, if you go into iaa.ie, there's on the front page down at the bottom left, you can click into drones, and in there you can go into what's called geographical zones. And that tells you where you can and can't fly. Now, if you want the airspace above a property, whether it's a stadium, whether it's a house, whether it's a OPW, whatever it is, they should apply through the Irish Aviation Authority. The Irish Aviation Authority are the only people who can restrict access to airspace in the state. So it needs to be published on that map. Now, what has happened is a lot of local authorities, a lot of others have put up signs, but that's to restrict the taking off and landing of the drone at that property. They are allowed to do that under bylaws, but that's about taking off and landing, access to the property. The overflight has to go through the Irish Aviation Authority and has to be a safety substantiation as to why drones shouldn't be allowed.
So look, there was obviously a lot of, you know, kind of controversy and concern over Dublin Airport in particular, you know, about drones grounding flights. And obviously there was that talk of legislation. Has that been enacted, and does it allow airports to restrict them, or are they allowed to shoot them down or disable them if needs be now?
Yes. So there was prior to kind of March this year, there had been a restriction on airports being able to actively. Again, it's back to being deemed to be hijack under the Air Navigation Act because you're interfering with an aircraft in flight. So therefore, airports in the Irish state were precluded from actually actively shooting. The only people who were allowed to interfere with an aircraft in flight and intercept an aircraft were actually the Irish military, the Air Corps. Mm. So other than that, they weren't allowed to. But that has changed. It was changed with the Irish Aviation Authority, has given airport operators, DAA particularly, and other airport operators And they are now allowed that they can use things like signal blocking technology, frequency jammers, counter drone technology. But what they have introduced is that they've introduced a stepped protocols as well in all of the airports now, where it's about identification and confirming the protocols to make sure that it's not a kid's balloon from a party and swords drifting across the airport that people are constantly reporting that they're seeing a drone when it's actually not. So this is what's important, is the first thing is that it's identified as a drone. The next thing, what is really, really important with any of these counter drone technologies, is that we catch the person, and often it's actually it's not malicious. It's often just an idiot who doesn't realize the danger that they're causing to people both on the ground and in the air. So, you know, people really need to be taken to task. If they are endangering people in any way, they must be taken to task, and the full rigors of the law should be applied to them.
I think you should need licenses,
you know, held up, for example.
For them, for myself. Can I just ask you, and this could be just maybe a function of me growing up in the hinterland of South Armagh, but you clearly love drones. I'm kind of sceptical and nervous about them. And particularly, you know, just even when you see they're being increasingly used in warfare, in the conflict of Russia-Ukraine, you know, everything. What are the benefits of drones, and do you have any concerns about them?
So I would say the benefits are, I mean, some of the clients that we work with, if you give me an example, like when you look at hashtag drones for good, you know, the Irish Coast Guard we work with, and we spend a lot of weekends training with the Irish Coast Guard. They've got brand new equipment now, which includes thermal cameras. The new drones that they have are both waterproof. They have an IP rating, which is an impermeability rating, 55. So they can operate in showers of rain. They can operate in much stronger winds than the previous equipment they had. So now they're useful, and they can really go out and in inclement weather conditions, which often in Ireland, it's either very good days or very bad days when the Coast Guard is really called upon. They can now go out and they can function most of the days of the year. So, and they have these thermal cameras on them. So, I mean, when you look at things like that, the other thing is being green and sustainable as well. You know, when you look at electric powered aircraft, we work with ASL Airlines. They transport, you know, massive amounts of cargo all over Europe and the world for DHL, for Amazon, for FedEx. And they're looking, they just got their drone license. So their license as an airline to start operating drones. We worked with them for the grant of that. But again, it's about green energy, it's sustainability in aviation. And take mana, get your coffee in under 3 minutes. You know, there's all of these really positive
aspects
on your pizza.
A keen listener says, Derval, what about drone deliveries, and can people object to this in their area if they don't want to see people getting coffee deliveries? I don't think delivering somebody's coffee could be quite described as going into a danger zone, but perhaps for some people who need coffee in the morning, it might be.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if anybody's experienced, if you've been up around Balbriggan and experienced the man of drone, you'll see that the drone actually comes overhead and actually carries out the delivery from 14 metres. So it's up at, you know, nearly 50 feet high. So there's very little noise, you know, and it's actually lowering the package down onto the ground. So the drone is not landing. So, you know, so a lot of the noise complaints that come up, you know, and in fairness with mana, if there is anything, if somebody does particularly have an objection, they'll look at it, they'll review it and they'll go through it. So, you know, there hasn't been noise complaints. People are not complaining. This is a live operation that's going on in Balbriggan all the time, and you can talk to Bobby Healy about it, and he's very open about the noise complaints that have been there, and there has been virtually none.
But they could alter
really
our perception.
Noise hasn't been
Whatever about noise, it could alter our perception of privacy and personal spaces. Like, I mean, you can see the extraordinary potential, you know, for whether it's tackling things like illegal dumping or dumping, if it's being used by our, you know, frontline services. But what happens, you know, if it falls into the hands of bad actors, and how do we manage its misuse?
I suppose it's the same as any technology. Do you know, like, there's always if there's malicious use of technology, it is very difficult to control. There's no substitution. I think what's there is we need to look as we move on, and as we see more and more drones, there's better cybersecurity solutions being put in place. So it's very difficult to interfere with the aircraft in flight. But if somebody does have malicious intent, I mean, it's back to the Garda enforcing those. It's back to identification of malicious actors in the system and when and where they may use those. So it's down to intelligence collection and using the state services that we have in order to gather that information.
I know that Volocopter plans to fly people around the Olympics in Paris next year, but the Ryder Cup in 2027, are we really going to be seeing people using air taxis?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we partnered with Shannon Airport Group, Future Mobility Campus Ireland down in Shannon, and we're looking at putting a vertiport in Shannon. And then the Ryder Cup is a really realistic target to have air taxis taking people from one place to the other. And it's our Paris Olympics. So we may as well, it gives us a good target date to work towards. And this is happening now. I mean, and it's going to happen. Volocopter, we were just exhibiting at the Paris Air Show. Huge amount of advanced air mobility there. These eVTOL aircraft, electric aircraft, take off and land vertically, fly horizontally, short distances, all electric, and taking, you know, between anywhere from 4 to 6 passengers. And Ireland is seen as a centre for this. We've got a really positive regulator here. We've always been very dynamic in the aviation industry. So, yeah, it's the seed for the future.
Yeah, well, if I see a cup of tea coming in by drone into the studio, I won't object. I'll embrace that technology. But for now, Julie, it's a fascinating conversation. But Julie Garland of AvTrain Drone Training, thank you so, so much for sharing that with us. We really appreciate you being with us. We'll take a quick break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.